Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 4, The Spoils of War.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh! Holy cow, folks. That was possibly the greatest episode of this show that I have seen. Holy cow, wow.
People should know we just watched this episode.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about it now. So we're still coming down from this episode.
From the high that was.
We don't even have time to talk to each other before we start this episode. No. So, well, guys, my name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be running this ship tonight. But I got a lovely panel of hosts with me. Guys.
What up? I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape on all the social mediums, and I hope you do.
Hey, what's up? It's Dave Child. I'm here at MR Dave Child and DaveChild.com. I'm Dave Child. Hi.
Wait, was that supposed to be me?
I just liked your pose. I'm like, what's up?
I didn't know we were touching the table, but now we're doing it. Hi.
Hey. Welcome to the table, by the way.
Thanks, guys. I'm moving up in the world. I made it over from Chatmaster to the panel this week. I'm filling in for Ryan, and my name is Amber Plaster. I will still be, I don't know why my hand's still here.
It's a good pose. good.
I will be filling in for Ryan this week, and I will be back to the chat couch next week, I'm sure, but I am super thankful to be here. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
Guys, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of setup to this battle, but let's just talk about this damn battle, because this was unbelievable.
I didn't see it coming, for one, and we're going to talk about all the stuff that comes before it, but there was a lot going on in this episode that I was like, okay, we've had our fun in this episode.
Yeah.
It was, by the time the battle happens, it was like, oh, this has been a good episode. Maybe they're just going to cut away, and then all next episode's going to be a battle, or we'll just see what happens after the Dothraki hits the shields. But it was so good to see the Dothraki do their thing, and then also with the dragons,
waiting for the dragon
to come in. Oh my god,
it was so satisfying to finally see the worlds collide. And this is pretty much everything I ever wanted from it. I mean, the sound, they really, like, got the suspense right. Because for moments at a time, I mean, it went on for at least 2 minutes where we were just hearing the Dothraki come.
We
were trying to guess who it actually was for a second. I mean, I kind of immediately thought it was Dany's army, but, like, who? Like, was it the dragons? Right. Was it the Dothraki?
I knew we were, we were due for some Dothraki badassery.
Yeah.
And it was, and as soon as you hear those, like, you hear the horses and they're coming. And
you knew it was them because, I mean, I knew it was them because it was the horse. You could hear the horses coming, and the Dothraki they're the horse riders.
That's true.
And what's also cool is, like, in that moment, I think we were in the heads of the Lannister army, and so we were kind of, we felt like, okay, guys on horses. We're going to get a lot of horses. Horses, horses, horses. Dragon! Not a horse! It was just
Sky horse!
That dragon got its hero shot.
This was the one time where I'm like, alright, I kind of enjoyed the fact that they shouldn't be able to travel that fast, because it caught us by surprise. It was like, all of a sudden they were there, and I was like, alright, bring it on,
baby. It all started when John was like, the queen's not here, and then we're all like,
because I thought John's speech was actually pretty good. Take a step back. When she's like, what should I do? Should I go to the Red Keep? Should I burn the place down?
John had me convinced.
John was like, John convinced. And I believed, and I think convinced her too, because there's a reason why she doesn't go straight to, like, goes after the army and doesn't go straight to the Red Keep. There's a big difference between that. And so I didn't anticipate that until we actually saw the army, and I was like, oh, that's where she's going.
It threw me as well, because I didn't really think about, when did we know? I feel like I didn't really register where Jamie was at the moment and how close that was to Dragonstone. So kind of when they showed up, I was like, oh, that's right. They're all in the South Kingdom together. Like, it didn't, I didn't put it together quickly enough, so I was taken aback.
Well, I think I don't think we really know exactly how the Dothraki got over there. They said they have enough boats for the Dothraki, but we don't know, like, where those boats took them and dropped them off. Because in order to get to where Jamie was on his way to King's Landing, King's Landing is in between where Jamie is and Dragonstone.
Right.
So they would have had to, like, pass King's Landing unless they went around some way. I don't know, geography and...
Well, they were in front of King's Landing, right?
Because
gold made it safe.
We just made it... The gold was made into King's Landing, mm-hmm. So that was in front of King's Landing.
Oh, I missed that. Yes. I totally missed that.
Yeah, so they were like, we're set now, but now we have to head out, and we got to go to the next place we have to go. And so they started moving, and then that's when the dragons...
So the gold made it to King's Landing.
The gold made it.
Okay.
The gold is like...
I heard them saying they were stretched thin, but I missed that line.
The gold's in the bank. This just demolished the army, but the gold is not as melted as it is on
okay, so
head.
Cersei's still going to have the iron bank because she got the gold to them and everything.
Yeah. Right.
Okay,
so
cool.
Cersei is officially bankrupt.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But
this battle was crazy. I just wanted to see those dragons come in and just plow it down. And they kind of teased us. I thought it was just going to be the Dothraki. And then at the last second, Aerys comes in. And
what was also great about the setup for this is... this whole series has been building up these characters that we've been learning to like and love.
They were in Highgarden.
Yeah. Oh, they were in front of Highgarden.
That's what makes sense. That's why there were so many Tyrells.
Oh, right, because he was like, you don't want...
Yeah, Bronn wanted Highgarden. Yeah.
So wait,
and Dickon.
So how did the gold make it all the way to King's Landing without...
Because they gave it to the Iron Bank, and then the Iron Bank took it.
Is that true? Because I thought they were saying, like, Jamie was escorting it personally earlier in the episode.
Yeah, he was supervising the transport.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought the gold...
Guys, the gold will get there.
But will it?
But they did say... But
or is
no.
the gold now in Danny's hands?
No. Because they did say, at least, no matter where they were, they did say that the gold made it into King's Landing.
Okay.
They said those words.
We are definitely debating something that we just misheard.
Yeah.
No, we heard it.
No,
we just didn't hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, they definitely said...
The gold
made it into King's
We were very
Landing.
Busy in shock and awe while they were picking up facts.
Yes, right. They were like, aw.
But what I was building up is like, we love Bronn and we love Jaime,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're still like rooting for Daenerys.
Yes. That's the beauty
of
it. Is yes.
We do.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it because we're rooting for people from both sides, and which is amazing, and it's the emotional investment, and that's what makes the stakes so high.
I kind of wanted Jaime to like get her only because we've had lose so much up until this point, lose, and then he's a good fighter, and you're like, wow, is he gonna save the day right now? But like, you know, he's not because it's Danny.
I thought he was gonna be.
But Bronn almost saved the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or my question, was that even Bronn? Was it...
Bronn got the shot off.
Oh, yeah.
He got to the scorpion. It's
proved
the scorpion.
To everyone there, and word spreads, that the dragons are not invincible. That is very important.
That is important. And I was so... Because I was convinced with how they were setting up the scorpion, and I think this is the first time they called it the scorpion.
But much better than big crossbow.
Yeah, big old crossbow. Big old crossy over there. They were setting it up so much that I thought for sure we were going to lose a dragon. So I was expecting, like, the first battle against it and dragons to be all three dragons.
Yeah,
like, so Sarah that we're like, oh, no, the yellow one's dead. But the fact it was Drogon, I was like, no.
Drogon's not going anywhere.
I thought it was going right down his throat.
I was so scared. It was like, it's okay. Do I want Drogon to go or Bronn? I don't want
either.
Bronn is like the Drogon of the people.
And
that's a great point.
I think we're feeling a little bit like Tyrion here. Wait a minute, I'm with Daenerys, but
Tyrion.
But wait, I like
Jaime,
and Bronn's my friend, and I don't know.
My favorite dragon, no.
Yeah. And then Tyrion even said, "Flee, you idiot!" Like he was like, but that was his like love and devotion for Jaime, being like, "I love you, brother. Don't do this because Dany's gonna kill you. I know she will." But I'm like really excited for next week because it seems like Jaime is still going to be there, and Bronn when she says, "You bend the knee," or you know, you. Are dead basically.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, or does he, obviously he's not drowning, like he will come back up, but will he escape, you know, or will he be stuck there and will we see the brothers unite again? I don't know.
That's a good point. He could be, because then it could be flipped because the last time I think Jaime was with Tyrion was when Tyrion was in the keep, was in the dungeon of the...
Yeah, when he was
helping him escape.
Yeah, so, and then he helped him escape. So it's maybe a nice little flip that now it would be Tyrion holding Jaime in another type of dungeon. So that might be interesting if that ends up going that way.
So, Amber, you brought it up. Who do you think saved Jaime at the end? Do you think it was Bronn, or do you think it was...
Yeah, I'm not super clear on if it was...
If it was Dickon
or Bronn.
Mm-hmm.
And Randall Tarly's not that agile.
But I don't... Doesn't matter.
At first I thought it was Bronn, but then I thought, well, we had this moment where we actually got to see Jaime and Dickon have a moment, and then he saves him once. Yep. And then I kind of wondered, but then, like Kristen pointed out, Bronn was actually closer to that crossbow than we think Dickon was.
But do we think that whoever saved Jaime got the dragon blast in the face? So is that why it matters? Like,
because they might be dead.
I could see him being like partially scarred or something.
Yeah, maybe Dickon could.
Someone's gonna get a cool
scar. And I could
see
Randall having died during that, and like Dickon taking over the forces, okay, like becoming the
wounded Dickon is just.
What if it's actually a Dothraki or someone on Tyrion and Dany's side?
No, I think they're wearing the armor.
The chat mostly thinks it's Bronn. I think so too, but I also, whenever Game of Thrones doesn't show you a face, I pay attention to it.
I also don't think
Bronn can only be so badass in this episode.
Exactly.
He did a lot with the scorpion.
Okay.
So it's probably Dickon because we got that foreshadowing.
That's my guess.
Him
but somebody,
saving him before.
As we're recording this, somebody is freeze framing.
Yeah, someone's finding out. We didn't have enough time.
We don't even get to watch the after show. Hey,
it's going to be tweeted to me. As soon as I'm done this, I'm going to look down and see it on my phone, a picture of it. I don't even.
Okay,
so. This is just emotion. Let's go through it.
Yeah.
So, they form the line. Randall shows what a good general is. He forms the line. The Dothraki come barreling through. The dragon comes, gets the line so the Dothraki can get behind the enemy line. They're taking everybody out. Wow.
Just to take a step back, I think, now, and just to see how they kind of got there and how maybe this was set up. Maybe we should go back to Dragonstone.
Yeah, let's set it all up. Want to go back there, okay, guys?
Actually, before that, maybe we should go all the way back to the Iron Bank talking to the Lannisters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do all that. Before we even get there, I want to talk about a little something that is near and dear to my heart, guys. Mm-hmm. Food.
Oh,
food.
If anybody knows me, they know that
you're thinking dragons.
I do.
You
not.
Went food.
I food. Well, I mean, we saw all that crispy stuff. I was thinking barbecue.
Okay, I'm into it.
So I came to this. But if anybody knows me, they know that I don't stop eating.
Mm.
Even last episode, guys, I was munching on a burger the whole time we were
watching
this episode.
It was kind of gross.
But guys, I want to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Plated.
We get bankrolled by our own Iron Bank, and that Iron Bank this week is Plated.
Plated is a meal kit for people who love food. Each week they have 15 chef design recipes to choose from, and we all get to choose some, and we're going to be trying some out pretty soon, and I'm very excited about this because I am a terrible... I'm a little in the kitchen, and like I always buy too much food or too little, and then I can't make it correct. These guys will send you. You don't have to go to the grocery store. They mail it to you, the exact amount of food, all the ingredients you need, and you can make a delicious meal.
I'm a good cook. I'm a terrible shopper. So if they bring all the things to me, then I can make a really good meal.
Same. Yeah. If you deliver instructions, no problem. Do they deliver instructions?
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
It's not a mystery.
You're also going to...
They're just like, guess what?
Yeah. Here's a radish and a stone. Have fun.
Good luck.
No.
I don't know how cooking works, guys. I don't know.
I don't know how this works.
I'm just asking questions.
They also, they're also probably going to send you a lot of stuff that you're not going to find in the grocery store, or you're really going to have to go hunting for. It's worldwide inspired foods, like Malaysian fish curry and different
spices
things.
From Essos.
Yes,
probably.
So, it's going to be. I like to cook. I'm just terrible, so I'm looking forward to the instructions and having the correct amount and sitting down and having a delicious meal.
Yes.
So, guys, if you also like to eat, and I assume you do here.
Unless you're of the dead and in the top of the world walking towards
you or another.
Then you probably don't eat.
There you go. Guys, we have a great deal for you, so check this out. Discover your ideal dinner experience. Go to plated.com/buzz to get 50% off your first plated
meal. Whoa, that's a lot. That's pretty good. That's huge. A real discount.
That is huge.
That's not a 10% off, guys.
Guys, I think I'm going to buy this after we get our samples.
The Iron Bank will never give you that discount.
There you go. Exactly. That is 50%.
Stop it.
Guys, that is 50% off. I want to repeat it again. It's for a limited time only. Terms apply, so cplated.com/buzz for details. That's plated.com/buzz.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So definitely check it out, guys. And now we're going to back up a little bit in the show. We're going to talk about how we kind of got to that battle. Let's start first before they get attacked, the Lannisters are carting the gold. They find out that they do indeed have all this gold from the Tyrells. Yeah. Bronn wants a castle.
I kind of see Bronn in this whole episode being like, it was nice fighting for you, but I don't want to commit unless I get that castle. Because if I know I'm getting that castle, then I'm going to commit. But I feel like I could always go to the other side if they got the castle. So I think every time, even when he brought up the scorpion later in the battle, he was like, I don't want to be the one to shoot the dragon.
Yeah.
And then I can't be... fighting for them.
He's like, Tyrion's on the other side, and I'm still friends with that guy. I got an in, guys.
He wants to live to see another day.
He totally does.
I think he's fighting for Dany come next episode. He'll bend a knee, give him his bag of gold.
He's a survivor.
Bend that knee.
Dany's never going to take him after he almost shot her.
Yeah,
after he almost killed her baby.
She said,
not a baby
if
anymore.
You bend a knee and fight for me, you're all good. So
He's still got a bit of that cell sword in him. We'll see. But we find out that the Tarleys are in command of taking taking everybody's harvests. There you go.
Forget that's Sam's dad, by the way.
That is Sam's dad.
That's Sam's dad.
The apple fell far from the tree.
When he was like, flogging the people that are, not as fast. I find that's helpful. Made me feel so bad for Sam.
Makes you like understand Sam a little bit better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You're absolutely. Like, oh man, buddy.
So we find out that the line is very stretched thin. We get that scene with Dickon and everything. Then the battle commences. Also, before we get there, we got to touch in with Cersei.
Yeah.
This ties in with the gold and everything. She's talking to Tycho there from the Iron Bank. Mm-hmm. And
she says she wants to recover things that belong to
I picked
her.
Up on that, too.
Yeah, what was that about?
What is she talking about, please?
Because when they were talking about her hand, is it Qyburn? Is it
Qyburn? Yeah.
Sure, we'll be corrected. But let's say Hand Qyburn. And he said that he went somewhere to talk to people that are going to be sponsoring her war.
Right.
I like to say the word sponsor here. But but where was he going? I missed that.
It was very quick.
And I didn't want to rewind it. And then she said,
I think Essos, honestly.
Essos?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Because anything he has his hands in, I'm very dubious of. Because it's probably... some Franken version of what's happening. So,
I'm curious about all that as
but
well.
What
I'm curious
is
what
it?
The listener,
what
what
she
our listeners are saying in that.
Recover things that belong to her. What is she talking about? Does the chat have any ideas?
Well, let's Casterly Rock. They're saying, but I think that Cersei has lost a lot of items, right? Mm-hmm. So she doesn't really have.
Like
does she have the Dragonfire still?
There's still tons
wildfire?
Under the
wildfire?
City.
Wildfire, sorry, wildfire?
There's still a lot under the city.
And then, so what else has she lost, right? She doesn't currently... doesn't have her brother, Tyrion.
Yeah, but she knows he's back in Westeros.
But she would like to recover...
That head.
I'm sure that head.
Yeah.
Dead head.
Maybe the Seven Kingdoms. There's a lot of things that she feels that she's lost.
Oh, she feels like she is owed everything.
So I think
I just wasn't sure if there was like something she was pinpointing here.
Yeah, there is, and I'm trying to figure out what it is out of like what we as a group might know that she feels is hers. That's that she wants to recover. Because to me, that means something that's from a few seasons ago that she lost.
All right, what do we see in the previous thing? Oh, no. So The Iron Bank is like, wow, I don't think anybody's ever paid back this large a debt in one sitting.
Their credit score just went super up.
But they're so disappointed. They're like, oh, damn it. Now people like this, liked you being in debt.
And he made sure to say, you know, we're with you, whatever you need, as soon as we get the gold.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The chat's saying perhaps it's Sansa, since she felt a connection and an ownership over her.
Mm. Interesting. So let's go to Dragonstone guy. Pretty much this whole episode is Dragonstone, Winterfell, and that battle there. So let's go to Dragonstone. We got a lot to talk about there. Missandei's worried about Grey Worm.
Yeah.
Over there.
Have this nice little, like, girl, what just happened? Like, moment. Like,
a lot of things happened.
And then John and Danny go on a little date to a dragonglass cave.
They did.
I love how
John
likes
taking his ladies to caves.
I tell you. That's his move. Is the cave.
The cave. He's like, hey girl, there I got a cave for you.
So the lighting on our TV was a little dark in this one, but it looked shiny.
The dragonglass.
The dragonglass cave here. Wants to see it all. It's going to be mined, and then he takes her to some cave drawings. And we find out the children of the forest had been down there. They obviously have been collecting the glass. The first men were probably with them because there are drawings of that, and they're working together against the others, which is he's using to try and get Danny to his side, but Danny's still bend the knee.
Well, because she saw the chalk on his hands, like you said.
Yeah, John is like, oh, I didn't draw these.
I didn't chisel these.
That is amazing. Go.
So did you guys have any insight into this scene? Was there any like hidden gems that I'm missing?
Well, one
here,
thing that I noticed is that there's a repetition of some symbols, like the swirl that we see
kind of
drawn
like a
on.
Starburst sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it's like kind of a swirl that's in. It's the same thing that happened when the Night King was turned into the Night King.
Yes. Mm.
He stood in the same sort of swirl created by the Children.
And that's the very first, we see the dead bodies in like the premiere episode. Right?
Yeah, and then we see the dead bodies in the swirl. So that seems to be kind of a recurring symbol. So
I mean, there was a lot of drawings on those caves. I feel like they need to send Sam or someone in there with a book to kind of decipher what's going on.
Well,
I feel like there's messages that could really help them.
Sam would be great. You're right.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Sam, can we bring Sam back in, please? Anyone? Sam, can you just get in here? I really liked that we saw Danny finally kind of truly believe that the White Walkers are a threat. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the most important part.
Yeah,
for me.
But then I also like that she didn't go, okay.
Yeah.
let's just work together then, because I think she realizes that the only way she's going to unite the kingdom and bring everyone together is if she is declared the ruler and everyone bends the knee to her. I don't see it so much as a Cersei power move feeling. It feels to me that that's really how she's able to kind of tie people together.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see the side of Jon can't just do that. Especially we see what the North is like. He became King of the North because all of his people turned him into the King of the North.
Yep, they are.
He doesn't always do the most favorable things, though. Like, his people have seen him do things before that were against what they wanted. I feel like when it comes down to it, just like she said, you know, you might have to drop your pride if you want to save their lives. I feel like he might. I feel
they are setting up their marriage so hardcore in this scene.
That'd
so hardcore. Like, the only way you can do it is bend a knee.
Or if we're married, since
we both are going to rule half the kingdom.
There is a way to join forces.
Yeah.
Girl, I've never told you how much I like your heart.
And we had that, like,
good heart.
Good heart. Staring at your heart.
And we had that when she left Dario back in Marine. She's like, I can't take you because I'm going to have to marry somebody over there.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Somebody.
They are setting all that
Snowbody.
Up. And then when they find out they're related, whoa, can't stop them now.
Targaryens will meet with Targaryens.
Next week's episode.
So, oh my gosh. We did have Jon, like, grab her hand and bring her over. They were alone in the cave, and everybody let them be alone in the cave. That was...
The caves are his thing.
So I got Tyrion and Varys written down here. They come in with the news about Casterly Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have F.U. Tyrion written down. What is up with that? He was not happy about this situation.
Danny kind of said
F.U. Oh, because your family. That's right. That's what happened here. Right. She was like, all your plans are going wrong. This is your family. Maybe you don't want us to win those battles.
Yeah. Right. And then she turns to Jon for advice, and that's when he tells her, hey, don't melt cities and burn people and castles. But he didn't say anything about the armies. So then she takes off.
Yeah. It was also a good setup for Tyrion because we saw through his eyes on the battle. Mm-hmm. And we saw that it was his family, like we were talking about before. So it was a good setup for that, like, kind of conflict. And it was good to see him at the battle, even though I don't know why he was there, except for maybe, you know, last-minute strategic moves.
Strategery.
Yeah. He's the smart one. Yeah. He's the good woodwork.
I was surprised
man.
When he came over the hill in the battle. I misremembered him being on the beach with like John and them. But
it makes sense. He's her advisor. So
he should have been on a dragon, but whatever.
We haven't gotten there yet. Jeez. Yeah, he's just going to give everything away in this season?
But I can totally see her purposely bringing him to be like, look, this is what's happening. You're my hand. Yeah. This is what's happening. Like, if you have a problem with this, we got to deal with it.
Right.
So she's with them. So John and Davos. We have Davos stating the obvious once again. I think that's his whole role in the show anymore.
Yeah. Just tells you like it is.
You think she's cute. You checking her out.
He's there for the audience.
I've always enjoyed Davos.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
By the way, when I met him, he was like my favorite character in the show that I met in person.
Yeah.
Like, he's just such a cool guy. He was like holding a pipe.
His fingers.
And he was about to like smoke something. It was just like he's just that cool. So as cool as he is on the show, like he was wearing the same glasses. Like
it's great.
It was amazing.
I love it, guys. Missandei has this little story about how there's no bastards in Narth. Any importance?
Which is liberating for Jon. Yeah. Well, I feel like it's foreshadowing, obviously.
Yes.
Liberating because he's going to find out he's a Targaryen and all that.
And she's also kind of a huge giver of information in the show. Mm-hmm. And so we see her kind of be like, oh, what's your story? I'm very interested to see how are you King Snow? That doesn't make sense. Can you explain? She wasn't being disrespectful. I think she was just trying to get his story.
Yeah.
And it was interesting how in a short exchange of information, they kind of were like, huh, yeah, how are we going to do that with your name? Your name and all.
King John? Like King John.
King Snow. No, that doesn't sound right.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Do we start a democracy or what happens next? I don't really know.
King Snow just sounds like Adventure Time, but it's still good.
But we have Missandei talking about how great Daenerys is and how everybody is there because they believe in her, not because she's sort of forced them to be there.
Right.
And which sort of opens up, I think, John's eyes. John's like, oh, okay, this is not the woman I think I thought. I thought I was going to think when I showed up over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that. So
I think it's making him fall in love with her more.
And Davos wants to switch sides.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
I love it. So while this is all happening, a Greyjoy ship shows up in the bay. Mm-hmm. And Theon and company show up. And, oh, man, I totally forgot about how this reunion was going to be until they were face-to-face, and then I just had this feeling of dread.
Right, but then I was like, well, he did save Sansa.
Yeah.
And so when he pulled him in and was like, what you did for Sansa is the only reason why I'm not killing you right now. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That feels about right.
But does Jon know at this point? Jon doesn't know.
I always wonder how much of this
Jon knows Rickon is dead.
Yeah, but he doesn't know Bran is alive.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think. Well, who knows? Maybe he got a raven.
Why haven't they sent a raven down there? Come on.
Ravens should be faster.
Well, ravens are the slowest thing in this kingdom.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But that was tense. Oof, my gosh. Theon's just like, John.
I really enjoyed that Theon at least acknowledged one thing that's been bothering me for a long time is that he should be dead by now.
There's
no reason for this character to still be alive Westeros. That is crazy. I mean, I like his character. I love the actor. He's like Glenn in The Walking Dead. Why is he still alive?
Right. Well, but It's, I think, with I think he knows it, which is what's good about his character.
I like that they acknowledged it. I was like, thank you. Somebody said something.
So, because I think that's basically his character now is like, I'm going to die. I better die soon.
I just
want to die.
But he says it here, and I thought it was a beautiful moment where he said, your uncle attacked you. I thought you were dead. And he was like, I should. I should be.
Right.
That's him definitely admitting how wrong he was and how he should have just attacked, tried to save his sister. Because the Greyjoys are all about fighting till the end. They'd rather die in battle than be taken prisoner and everything. And so Theon knows that he messed up.
And we do hear him say, I need your help to save my sister.
Right.
So his, like we kind of thought, is the only way he's going to be able to redeem himself is if he goes in and saves her.
Yeah.
So.
And I kind of hope he dies in the process. Like, I hope he saves her, but I hope he also dies, because I just feel like he doesn't really need to be around anymore.
Oh, I love having him on the show. Alfie, don't leave.
I don't want him. I don't know.
He's the prince that was promised.
It would be an epic.
He needs to have a good death. He needs to have a good death.
If he saved her and died.
Do you think he's going to have a hero moment? Hero death?
I hope so. I feel like everyone needs a hero moment. Death. And there's only the only time that hasn't happened was kind of when the Sept blew up. I feel like a few people left not with hero moments.
I agree.
They just kind of went with the collateral
with the
damage.
Green glow.
Yeah.
I didn't like that episode.
There you go.
So you think that Theon's being saved for a hero death?
I hope so.
I think so.
I don't know.
You think
about
it's going to be Yara? His sister?
Yeah, I hope.
I feel like it's going to be.
I think that's really
maybe
helpful.
It'll be Jon. Maybe he'll die for Jon.
He should die for a Stark.
He already has. Like, he's died inside for the Stark. I don't know.
He's been through a lot of stuff.
He has to die again and again and again. How many times can we kill Theon?
Honestly, I want him to go through the wall, because we need better people at the wall. And he's not, like, the best person. But
he'd be good at the wall.
He'd be good at the wall.
He'd be a little bit more set.
He could train people.
He could actually rise up get up the ranks in the wall. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Absolutely.
He would look good as a White Walker. That's about all I can imagine. What?
No! We don't want any more White Walkers. No Theon White Walker. Theon White Walker is going to come back. We're going to be like, damn it, Theon.
We just had that whole season of, like, Theon being Reek, then coming back to Theon. And, like, at that point, I wanted something to really happen, and it didn't. So now I'm just sick of him.
I want him to kill Euron. That's what I want.
Okay. All right.
I think that would be lovely, but I don't see that happening.
I think that's going to happen, and I think that's going to be like, I think it's not going to be like a great battle. I think it might be in the back or something, but I feel like that might be what's coming.
Oh, I think maybe they'll both die.
Well, we didn't think Sansa could kill, what's his name? Her husband.
There you go.
Joffrey?
No, not Joffrey.
Well, we're getting into crazy predictions
here.
Yeah. The news comes in right here that Dany is gone. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the battle, which we've talked about there. So
talk about it again, though. I mean, did we really talk about it?
We gotta talk about Winterfell.
Fine.
There you go. So let's get to Winterfell. Yes, yes, yes.
Why I love this episode is because it isn't just focused on one battle and one, like, Battle of the Bastards was a great episode, and it is nice to do that. And the same thing happened on the Blackwater episode. But it's great when you're able to, like,
there's other stuff
surprise yourself with a battle and coming up. It's great.
So the guy who always looks surprised or not at all, Bran, chilling in his room.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yes. Littlefinger gives him the old Dragonbone Valyrian Blade dagger. So it's a Valyrian blade in a Dragonbone hilt, I believe, here. So if I call it Dragonbone or Valyrian dagger, same thing going on there. Yeah. So the Valyrian dagger gives it to him, and he gives this heartfelt speech. I want to protect you, Stark kids. I would have died for your mom. Oh, I love your mom so much. And Bran, not creeped out at all, right?
Bran's like, I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm really into goth music now.
I'm high as a kite.
Also, he did say chaos is a ladder, and we all were like, oh, okay.
Yes. Okay, that's his album title right there.
So, and he's referring to the ladder that he was pushed over on.
No, Bran is referring to a speech, I believe, in season 2 that Littlefinger had with Varys, if I'm not mistaken, where Littlefinger was describing how his modus operandi, he causes chaos, and then he uses it to climb the ranks. That's what he does. He sows the seeds of discontent and everything, makes crazy stuff happen, and then he takes advantage
so it's the chaos theory. So chaos theory actually is things are not actually chaos. One thing sets off a motion of events around you spinning, but it's not actually complete chaos. It's let's one drop thing.
So little fingers the thing set.
It's a domino effect, yeah. It's not chaos.
Let me drop some water on my knuckles and see how it falls.
Hey, it went a different way. So chaos is a ladder, and Littlefinger gets the biggest oh shit look on his face that I have seen from him in a while. Yeah. He's just like,
oh, this kid's not right.
Wait, this kid knows what I've been talking about behind closed doors? Mm-hmm. Oh, this ain't good. This is not good. That's what I got from that.
I think you're absolutely right. I did not get that until right now, so thank you.
Wait. That Arya thought that about Bran?
No, that Bran can see what Littlefinger's talking
been
about.
Been talking about. Oh, yes. Behind closed doors.
And Littlefinger is all about the words. Yes. You know? So if Bran knows all these little plots and stuff that he's had going on, that is bad news for Littlefinger.
Right. You know, I didn't think about Littlefinger's days being numbered in being aside from Arya being back. I didn't even think about Bran being a threat to Littlefinger. That's a really great point.
Well, I think Bran is now using Arya as his killer. It seems like he gave her the weapon, so if he does want anyone dead, I think he'll just add to her list.
Well,
I don't think Bran interferes.
I don't think Bran wants anyone dead or anyone alive anymore.
I think he wants things to happen as they're supposed to happen.
Yeah, I think Bran is like a tool of destiny now and is no longer...
He's a vessel.
Yeah, he's not really... He's stepped back. I think what I was thinking last episode, because it was real weird when you're like, I'm going to prove to you I'm real creepy by talking about your rape on your wedding night to my sister.
And how beautiful you are, which is...
So I was hoping that they were going down the road of, oh, he's losing his humanity. And he brings that up in this episode by saying, I remember what it's like to be Bran, but I remember so much more now.
Yeah.
So he's stepped away from the material world, and he's really blending into the tree.
And he says that in the next scene, which I found to be a very sad scene with Mira. Because Mira is in love with this kid, or she has been. And
sacrificed
she has done so much. She lost her brother for him. Mm-hmm. She sacrificed so much stuff. And he's just gone. And
he's
she leaves
like, I don't need you anymore.
He doesn't even shed a tear about it.
No. I mean, and that's even worse when you think about... When you think about Hodor and the fact that his whole reason and his whole purpose was to save Bran.
Yeah.
And which was implanted in him in the past, the hold the door thing. And it's just even sadder if he's like, he still died. He still died in that cave, in a way. Mm-hmm. He's just now the Three-Eyed Raven. So the Three-Eyed Raven still continues on. But I'm curious to see how he's going to be useful or what's he going to do.
I know. It's like, how can he not tell people information? Yeah. Like, he tells them, he kind of lets them know that he knows things that they have gone through. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, he's got to tell other people information that's going to change destiny in some way.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't want to. He, like, sits back, but...
Well, he has one, which is that big Targaryen knowledge. He's the one that knows that Jon is a Targaryen.
Yeah.
And if he says it and people believe him, then he can actually unite the whole kingdom and save this whole thing.
And he can see... We've been told that he can see the future as well, right? Mm-hmm. But we haven't been shown any of that. Obviously, from a storytelling standpoint, we shouldn't see any of that, I'm assuming. But if he can see the future as well, I believe he sees how it plays out, and he sees how humanity can win. And now he has to make sure that all the pieces fall into that place. So he knows that like Ned has to die in order for this piece to fall. Like his father has to die, so he knows this piece has to fall into place and this piece. So that
the
humanity...
chat said, "Bran is the internet."
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
There you go. Yes.
I also
so Bran is making sure that humanity wins the battle by
maybe he by, also might just be seeing. By sacrificing. I know I'm supposed to be giving you this. I know I'm supposed to be doing this.
I do think it's really meaningful that he gave specifically Arya the Dragonglass dagger.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially since we're going, it's Valyrian steel, right?
I'm sorry.
It's Valyrian steel.
But which still kills White Walkers and still.
Because it's crafted from dragonglass?
It's a dragon bone hilt with a Valyrian steel blade.
Okay.
But the Valyrian steel itself, anything Valyrian steel does the same damage as dragonglass to the White Walkers. We see that when in previous seasons.
Yeah. So, speaking of Arya. she arrives. The moment a lot of us has been waiting for. We're getting all these moments and reunions and and we got Tweedledee and Tweedledum sitting at the gate, not letting her in.
Right.
I wanted her to kill them. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I thought she might.
You are ruthless.
They told her to F off. And you know how long it's been since she's been home? If I get home and I've gone through the journey that she's gone through, you better not stand in that door.
So if a guy's doing his job, you're just gonna murder him if they're
They weren't doing their jobs. Like she said, they need better guards.
I assume those were also pop stars that I didn't recognize just waiting at the door.
I think that's everyone that Arya contacts UK pop stars. I actually thought it was interesting that Arya talked her way into Winterfell instead of fighting.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
I haven't really seen her do that, mentally strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First she starts it off by name dropping Roderick, Lewin,
That's
John,
how I try to
Sansa.
Get in parties too.
These guys are like, we don't know half of those people. Because they'd be dead.
Yeah.
But eventually
I didn't expect her to be there. And they even said later on, even Bran was like, I expected you to go to King's Landing. Which showed also that Bran doesn't always know the future.
Yes.
It shows that he has predictions.
Good point.
And he's not all-knowing. So he was surprised because he saw her at the crossroads. And I personally thought the whole Nymeria scene from the previous episode where she's like, oh, that's not us. We're wild people and we're not domesticated.
Yeah.
I thought that meant she's still going to be on her own. I'm glad she's in Winterfell. Because I thought that's the wisest move, and it's nice to see them all together again.
I don't foresee them being together for very long.
Part of me, when the guards turned around and she was gone, part of me thought she had left.
Wow.
Because we had her looking around.
Mm-hmm. It's like a ding-dong
bitch. And I thought she
was
kind of like, I'm not supposed to be here. And she pieces out.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then I was wrong, because she was down in the crypt.
Yeah.
Looking at, once again, our TV lighting was a little dim, so I think that was Ned.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure that was Ned.
Well, that's where...
Does Rob have a statue set up?
No, that's where all the Stark kids go, is down to where their family is kept.
Yes.
So that's where Bran and Rickon were hiding out during
Ramsay's
rule. That's their place.
But all the Stark lords get it there, and I'm assuming they haven't made Rob's yet. Because Rob is the only other alternative I could think of.
Not.
Our lighting was very dark on that TV, guys.
But
sorry.
Arya was not impressed with the artwork.
Yeah. Should have got somebody who knew his face to carve him. But everybody who knew him is dead because the Starks have been through some shit. Oh, man.
They had some hard times.
Hard times.
I love that everyone thinks it's hilarious when Arya talks about killing people and having a list. Even her own sister. Yeah.
The chat was saying it as well. They're like, why does everyone keep laughing at Arya when she talks about killing people? And because I'm like, she's still, like, she looks like she's 11, you guys.
She's an 11-year-old. Right. She looks like she's a teenage girl. It's a patriarchal society, so they're just
being underestimating
like,
a girl.
But I think once Sansa sees her fight, Brienne, I think... She feels differently.
Yeah.
I think that's when she's like, okay, maybe that list is a real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when Bran talks about the list. Then Sansa really knows it's a real thing.
I think Sansa believes Bran for the first time. And I think Sansa's encouraged that this is how her little sister has survived for this long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That fight was like what I was waiting for.
Wow.
That was enough for the episode for me. That was like, oh, Arya and Bran are fighting. That's great. This is awesome. This is everything I wanted. This episode can end now. And the fact that the battle hadn't even happened yet is
such
amazing.
A good episode.
But that was
just that could have been enough for me. I would have been like, wow, great episode, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
And they fight to a draw, which was great because it showed that Arya is just as good of a fighter as Brienne is, but it also didn't take Brienne down a notch, which I'm glad.
Yeah. Different styles.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're kind of equal.
You know who she reminded me of? Cereo.
Yeah. She did. Yeah. She moved just like
she
Cereal.
Was water dancing all over the place there.
Well, she should because, he trained her.
Bravos.
Yeah.
I still am, waiting for him to come back.
Well, he's Jaqen H'ghar, so.
No one comes back to life in Westeros.
Oh, yeah. Good point. He's Jaqen H'ghar. Forgot about that.
That fight was awesome. But, my gosh. So, what did you think about the reunion with Sansa and Arya? That was kind of a.
I liked it. I think because
I thought it was going to be creepier, but it was much more touching than
I thought. It was touching, and also I think what hit home for me was the "Do I call you Lady Stark?" And she says, "Yes."
Yes.
Very seriously.
I loved it. I was like, "Jeez, guys."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They both are someone
down
else
for
now.
A moment.
Yeah.
I mean, they both had to go down to the crypt to where the rest of, you know, the family is, unfortunately, I feel like, to even resemble themselves anymore, because they talk about their journeys and how it was hard for both of them to get there. And they don't get into it right now, but it's like, they're not the same girls. Yep. Last time they were in that crypt. There's someone else now.
I love that moment where it's like, I went through a lot of bad stuff to be here. She's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I was like, that was great. What did you guys think? What do you think was going through Sansa's head? And what do you think was going through Littlefinger's head while they were watching this fight?
Oh.
I think Littlefinger is recognizing someone he can't control. And yeah. Or have the ability.
All the Stark kids.
I mean, all the Stark kids, but at least he's able to prove his usefulness to all the other Stark kids. People,
yeah. Yep.
Great point.
But I don't think he can be useful to Arya, except for maybe, you know, the Veil army. That's about it. But she's not even thinking of the political, like, Starkness. She's an assassin. She's there to pinpoint who's in front of me. Are they a danger? And I think she sees Littlefinger as a danger.
Well, I think he is on her list.
That's
can
what I was just
going to
ask
remind
you.
Remind me why exactly.
I'd love to know from the.
I don't remember
listeners.
Him being on the list. I thought it was like Cersei and Gregor. I thought were the last two on her list, but I could totally understand.
I'm pretty sure Littlefinger's on.
But why
her list.
Would why what why would he be on the list?
That's what I'm trying to remember. But
well,
I'm
does she know about his betrayal of her father?
Maybe that's it.
We're looking it up right now. I don't know. Doesn't
but
like
anyway, I think he was scared, to answer your question. I think Littlefinger
okay.
was scared. You know, he knows that Brienne is a great fighter, and I think he fears her, and now he's got another woman to fear, and most of the time he's, like, flirting, and that works, and I don't think it's going to work, and I think Arya's going to be the end of Littlefinger. I do think that.
I also, it's hard to tell, because it feels like Arya's going to be the end of so many people.
What do you guys think Sansa was thinking?
I think Sansa's thinking, oh, she's going to be a useful fighter, and I think a great way to maybe attack Cersei. That's what I think.
I saw this, like, love of her sister that didn't want to do needlepoint when she was a little girl
uh-huh.
and wanted to fight with the boys and do that stuff, and now she sees how badass she is, and I think she's, like, so proud. I think she
yeah.
has this pride in what her sister is. I didn't see any sort of, like, scared or weirded
no.
out. I saw this, like, that's my sister right there. That's who
yeah.
she, that's
yeah.
like, that's the skill
but
she wanted to have, and she's showing it.
I think it was also her realization of what Arya said in the crypt that
yeah.
she was like, oh, she wasn't joking.
Yeah,
and yeah, she did have a really hard journey here.
Yeah.
And I think it's also Sansa going like, oh, Arya became the physical threat she always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely got to become like this mental
yeah.
scheming threat.
And she's got a little bit of Cersei in her, and I think she's seeing a useful warrior in front of her that can be used.
The unexpected warrior.
Yeah,
I'm only seeing 5 remaining people on her list, and Littlefinger is not one of them, but I don't think Littlefinger's safe from her.
What are they saying? Because the book list and the show list are vastly different.
Okay, so we have Cersei. We have the Mountain.
I don't think this one's right.
What do you have, like, Polliver on there and stuff like that?
We originally had the Red
it's
Woman
the Red
on the
Woman,
list.
But I don't understand why.
Because Arya added Melisandre to the list after she took Gendry from the Brotherhood Without Banners in season 3. And Arya doesn't know that her friend was soon released after.
Mm.
So she was on the list. I don't know if she'll remain on the list. And then we have Beric and Thoros of Myr. Who got on the list because they sold Gendry to Melisandre.
Gendry.
So, again.
She loves that guy.
So, and then Sir Ilyn Payne, of course.
On the boat.
How can
where
you
is
like
Gendry?
Those
where are you, Gendry?
Where are you?
And just like I said earlier, the Hound is the only person to get off the list without actually dying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do not like because I do not like the Hound.
And Arya does not know that he is alive.
Right.
I still like the Hound.
Crazy.
Me too. I love him.
I have no idea how we're doing on time, guys. Is it prediction
it's,
time or is
I
it
think it's prediction time.
Let's talk about predictions,
yeah,
everybody.
Let's do it.
Your AfterBuzz
yeah.
TV predictions.
Woo!
Yes. So if you didn't watch the next week on, there's gonna be a spoilery for you. Looks like the others are coming.
Jeez. Yeah.
The others are in those shots. They are coming to Eastwatch by the sea.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of White Walker fighting in the next one.
Oh my gosh.
Which is going
to
be great.
So are we even going to get to King's Landing in this season, or are we now going to be interrupted
What do you mean? Do you think the others are going to get to King's Landing? And what are you asking?
No, like, so is Dany going to end up getting to King's Landing? Sorry for my lack of words. Sometimes I just think that everyone's in here. Do we think that Dany is going to be able to go to King's Landing and continue her war against Cersei? Or do we think that now we're going to be interrupted by the others and the White Walkers?
I always thought it was going to be like this season was going to be all the castles and kingdoms battling or whatnot. And then next season would be... like, the wall would fall at the end of the season, and then next season would be the others battling the rest of humanity. Yeah. But after Littlefinger gave that speech to Sansa the other day, it was like, you have enemies on all sides, and you need to pay attention to everything at all times. Yeah. Makes me think that maybe we're going to get this multifaceted war with others, and dragons and all this different stuff all at the same time. I'm not sure.
I think while they're fighting the White Walkers, I think Cersei's going to come up right from behind them and fight them at the same time, and it's going to cause a lot of problems, but Cersei's not going to realize it's causing problems for her too and all of humanity. But
yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see Cersei teaming up with the White Walkers sure.
Let's use them.
The thing is, like,
I shall seduce the Night King.
but Dany says she's not going to help Jon fight that battle until he bends the knee, or as I think, get married. And that seems like a good season ending moment.
A wedding to end the season.
Wall falling, a wedding.
Well, what might happen, because I think he has to talk to his people before he makes that decision. It just seems like that's what the culture of the North is like. Like, you do have to, it's a little bit of a democracy, just a little bit.
Yep.
Enough so that he airs grievances out loud to a room full of people.
Right.
So I think he's going to go back and discuss that with all of his, party. And what they might decide afterwards is like, hey, just propose, see what happens.
I hope that happens.
Yeah, so it might just be like, I don't know, I'm bending the knee, I don't know, but maybe.
Do you guys think, I don't know if we're all on the same page about them getting married or not, but do you think they'll get married and then they'll find out about John? Or they find out about John and then they get married?
I think they get married first.
But it's not.
I don't see their family tree deterring Dany, at least at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to deter either one of them. If anything, it kind of cements the deal.
That's why I wanted to go down after.
I kind of wanted it to happen before.
I can't see the show continuing after they get married.
Okay.
Like, I see that. I see that as the finale kind of situation.
Okay.
Unless they're still battling people.
Yeah, maybe. But then that's.
And also, they're not going to be like.
I think you're right. Love. I just want it so bad.
I just figured that was the, Dany, I really need you. The wall just came down. Will you marry me? So I don't have to.
Sounds
bend
like
the knee.
An 80s song.
But anyway, so also in the coming episode, we see that Tyrion is really, really not happy. We saw it a little bit in this one, and it looks like it's going to continue. He is not feeling this very much, which brings me back to Olenna's talk to Daenerys about shouldn't always trust this guy right here.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Is he going to try to go back to his family or save them or, you know, mess up her plans a little bit?
I don't know. He's in a
maybe
tough spot
right now.
Maybe
he'll just go into a depression.
I think he's obviously...
He just drinks his way through the depression like he always does. Maybe he's just seen too
much. You know what? He supports Dany to the end, but I can definitely see him going behind her back to help Jaime escape.
That was
like
his brother.
Jaime
I don't know if he's going to do that as much as, like... I think what's really being asked of him is he has to make sure he keeps her Mad King in check.
Because
I think she's going to start to be like, I'm going to start burning shit down.
Good point.
And then he's the one that has to be like, no, you gotta calm down. You got to take a step back. And I think that's more important to him than the fate of his family at this point.
Awesome. Any other predictions, guys?
I think it would be very interesting to see where Gendry ends up.
Gendry.
He's coming back.
I think that he's coming back, and I think that he's not going to come back to do anything in particular, but I think it's very interesting that Sir Davos set him free, and Sir Davos is on whose side now?
On
John and
on John's side. On both sides now. So
he wants to switch sides. Yes.
I feel like with Sam, Gendry, and her knight with the grayscale,
Jorah.
Jorah Those are all going to be glue tonight, bringing those characters together in next season. Hmm. I don't think they're really going to do anything this season, but I think they're going to bring John and Danny together.
You guys, are we going to see Jorah next episode? Is he going to be
back? I don't think we're
going to
see him for Jorah. A while.
Yeah, I don't know.
He needs a minute. He needs to take a breather.
He maybe doesn't have the teleportation skills like everyone
like
else.
Like everybody else.
I think it's about time that he shows up and...
Yeah, but the thing about Jorah is he's not supposed to be here.
No, he is.
He is not. He has been exiled from Westeros.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Randall Tarly saw him walking across that field, Randall Tarly would have taken him out.
Yeah, but from the Lannister side. But that's true, especially the Tarlys. But the Queen has said, you will come back to me when you've cured yourself.
Right. Do you think his letter will get there, his goodbye letter will get there right before he walks in the door?
Awkward.
I love you.
Sorry.
I mean, she knows.
And don't read that. Oops.
I didn't mean to send that text. Sorry. Ooh.
There's a really great meme going around that was like, Jorah was like, I love you. And it just says like, Danny, scene. Just no response.
I love it. Well, on that note, guys, thank you so much for watching this episode, this AfterBuzz TV episode. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this episode. This AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, season 7, episode 4, The Spoils of War. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure to click that like and subscribe button. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Keep on listening. We'll be back here next week. We are over the hump, guys. That was a hump episode. We are over the hump.
Yeah.
We have
You made it in.
We are on the downhill side of this season. My name's Kyle Matic. You can find me at Kyle Matic on Twitter. And thanks, guys.
I just want to say that we don't discuss much before we go live, but we did discuss whether or not Kyle should say hump episode. That's like the only thing we discussed prior to talking about the episode. Yeah. I'm Cinematic Escape on all the social mediums, Kristen Snyder. Catch you guys next week. Where can we follow you, Dave?
Oh, I'll tell you right now. You can follow me at Mr. Dave Child or Mr. Dave Child or at all the Twitters and Instagrams. And then also DaveChild.com. My name is Dave Child. I'm going to watch this episode for a second time tonight.
Amber, can you follow that up?
Can I? Will
okay,
I?
Sure.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. As per usual, I'm your chat maester. I will be back next week, and I hope that you guys will too. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
She did like the same thing, but with sexy eyes.
Thank you so much, guys. See you next week.
Night.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.